But it's hard to find a U of I student studying or reading who doesn't have a TCF bank account. Senior Joshua Dotson got his transferring to the U of I 2 years ago and signed up for just one reason.
While you're a student, you have to use a lot of coin op laundry. Easy way to get quarters.
Sophomore Desmond Shuford likes having the free checking account, but wishes the bank had provided more literature at the start.
I wasn't like really informed as far as like, you know, overdraft fees, and they kind of got me at the beginning. It was actually quite a bit. You know, I had to go in there, you know, and like get that handled. Like I say now, you know, everything is pretty good because, you know, you live and you learn. You learn as you go.
In its May 30th report, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group estimates that over 9 million students have student IDs that also function as debit cards. In a report called The Campus Debit Card Trap, PIRG says that includes 32 of the 50 largest four-year schools. The consumer group says such an arrangement gives the impression that a school is in some way endorsing the bank.
Is a student really getting a clear, unbiased opportunity to evaluate what banking product could be best for them?
Rich Williams is PIRG's higher education advocate.
Instead of seeing this already linked account and perceiving that the school has either negotiated a really good deal for the student or somehow vetted TCF amongst other banks, and really what we're seeing is that might not be true at all. It might be based on, you know, what bank was able to give the most money to the school.
Joe Wilberg, director of the U of I's Office of Treasury Operations, confirms there is an undisclosed financial commitment from TCF to the U of I, but reinforces that's not the sole reason the university's Urbana and Chicago campuses agreed to a deal with TCF in 2007.
The most important part that we were focused on was financial literacy, for one, was a huge component, that, and all the banks did offer that. It was just a matter of which one offered the best, and again, just what was the best account for the students.
PIRG says some universities benefit every time a student swipes their debit card. But Wilberg says that's not the case at the U of I, where revenue from the bank is determined by the number of active student accounts. Wilberg says those funds are funneled back into operation of the card program. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is among seven U.S. senators calling on schools to end what they see as unreasonable fees, such as PIN debit usage fees, ATM balance inquiry fees, inactivity charges, and unreasonably large overdraft fees. A letter the senators signed last week to six higher education groups also sought to establish guidelines intended to make the bank card programs fair, transparent, and reasonable. Christina Castro, TCF Vice President of Campus Banking, says TCF Bank promptly replied with a letter of its own.
We received it on June 11th, and June 18th we responded to all the allegations and with copies of all of our agreements. So we don't have anything to hide because we're not doing the types of things and the issues that are being discussed and addressed in this report.
Castro says unlike other banks' arrangements with some universities, TCF's checking account for University of Illinois students does not include a monthly maintenance fee, inactivity fees, or account closure fees. Its arrangement with the U of I is similar to agreements with Northern Illinois University, the University of Minnesota, St. Cloud University, and the University of Michigan. But TCF's arrangement with five banks is small potatoes compared to PIRG's biggest concern, partnerships between other financial institutions and universities that PIRG says can jeopardize student aid by charging questionable fees on accounts set up to receive student aid payments. The consumer group calls financial firm Higher One the biggest player in these arrangements. PIRG says upon reaching an agreement with a university, Higher One recruits students to open accounts with the clear intent of raising revenue by charging fees on those accounts. PIRG's Rich Williams says Higher One is one in a list of companies that require students to go to a website to decide how they'll receive financial aid.
And of course, you know, they use that opportunity to heavily market their own preferred products and set up sometimes physical barriers from students choosing an option that, you know, many would think should be the default, like their own checking account. For example, it takes a couple extra days, sometimes a week to 2 weeks, to get your money by check or into your own account.
These arrangements with financial firms have prompted complaints from bank regulators and students at schools in Portland, Oregon, and Bellingham, Washington, and a student lawsuit out of Southern California. Among the specious fees PIRG highlights is a $50 lack of documentation fee, which the U.S. Department of Education notes violates federal rules. While TCF Bank doesn't charge lack of documentation fees to students, it does charge overdraft fees, just like with any checking account. So ultimately, it's up to students to be responsible with their money and manage their own account. Besides, as every student at the Urbana Campus Courtyard Cafe told me, any student that doesn't want a TCF account could simply say, no thanks. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin's efforts to investigate the relationships between banks and universities continued yesterday on the Senate floor. His concerns include not only student checking accounts, but prepaid credit cards. He calls them a lucrative business for financial institutions. In his comments, Durbin discussed fees levied on students for using a PIN number instead of a signature for debit purchases. Many of his words were directed at financial firm HireOne. Here's a portion of that address yesterday in the U.S. Senate.
PIN-based transactions are supposed to be more secure than signature transactions, but this deal actually penalizes the students for using PIN numbers, which are supposed to be more secure. Another unacceptable fee is the ATM balance inquiry fee that some banks charge. This penalizes students who check on their balances to make sure they don't overdraw their accounts or incur an overdraft fee. So why would you discourage a student from checking on their balance so they don't overdraw their account? Some banks charge inactivity fees when a student's charged $10 a month if they aren't using the account after 6 months. In other words, if the student isn't using the card, racking up fees by making purchases, the financial institution still charges $10 each month, so it's going to get the money either way. And of course, there are mysterious fees like HireOne's $50 lack of documentation fee. That's what they call it. They recently abandoned this, not to mention the obscure and unreasonable overdraft fees. Not only do these fees eat away at the limited money these students have for books, food, and living expenses, but these fees also cut into taxpayer-subsidized student aid dollars. Student aid should be used to aid students, period, not banks. We should not allow financial institutions to take a slice off of taxpayer-subsidized student aid disbursements through unreasonable fees. And we shouldn't have debit card deals between financial institutions and colleges that leave students holding the bag. Colleges and universities should negotiate for the students, for the best deal for them, the lowest fees, the best consumer protection. And we need these deals to be fully transparent. Students often think, well, wait a minute, if the university is recommending this bank or this school ID or this debit card, that it must be approved by the school. The terms of the deal ought to be clear to the students so they can make the right choice. In addition, if a school receives incentives or kickbacks for providing exclusive access to the students, there's an inherent conflict of interest that at least ought to be disclosed. So I wrote a letter along with Senator Jack Reed and Congressman Peter Welch calling on the 15 financial institutions mentioned in the PIRG report to immediately discontinue several of the worst fees that were highlighted and disclose their contracts with colleges and universities. I'm pleased that some financial institutions are responding to this PIRG report, but more needs to be done. Fortunately, there are colleges and universities out there that are ready to step up. Soon after the PIRG report came out, I met with the president of a university in Illinois that uses prepaid Visa debit cards to disperse Title IV student aid. Students at this school were being charged some of the fees that were mentioned in the PIRG report, such as the inactivity fee and a fee for checking on the balance on your account. When I alerted the president of the university to these fees, he immediately responded and agreed that he thought that was just unreasonable. He said he'll work to promptly address this issue for the benefit of the students.
That's U.S. Senator Dick Durbin speaking on the Senate floor yesterday on the campus debit card trap. That's a report released in May by the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. Durbin's spokeswoman identifies the Illinois school the senator mentioned as Southern Illinois University. Durbin's full comments and Jeff Bossert's report on banks' ties with universities can both be found on our website at will.illinois.edu.
Support comes from the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, hosting the 2012 Grassroots Radio Conference, July 26 to 29th in Urbana. The conference brings together media artists, organizers, radio operators, and citizens to learn, discuss, and brainstorm. More information and registration is at grassrootsradioconference.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 20th of July, 2012. It's the birthday of the novelist Cormac McCarthy, 1933, born Providence, Rhode Island, as Charles McCarthy, Jr., best known as the author of The Border Trilogy, All the Pretty Horses, The Crossing, and Cities of the Plain. Richard Woodward, in the New York Review of Books, called him a man's novelist whose apocalyptic vision rarely focuses on women. McCarthy doesn't write about sex, love, or domestic issues. It was on this day, 1940, California opened its first freeway, the 101, the Pasadena Freeway, 8 miles long, connecting Pasadena to Los Angeles. It was intended to carry about 27,000 cars a day. Today, it carries about 122,000. Today is the day considered the birthday of Alexander the Great, born in Macedonia in 356 B.C., became emperor when he was 20 years old. He was undefeated in battle, and by the age of 30, he'd established the largest empire in the ancient world, stretching from the Adriatic Sea to the Indus River in what is now Pakistan. It's the birthday of the Italian poet Petrarch, Francesco Petrarca, born in Arezzo, Tuscany, 1304, who gave us the Petrarchan sonnet. And it's the birthday of the father of modern genetics, Gregor Mendel, born 1822 in Heinzendorf, Austria, now part of the Czech Republic. He was an Augustinian monk who raised peas in the monastery garden and noticed that the plants had variations. Some had white flowers, some purple, some were tall, others not. He began crossing the plants that differed in only a single aspect, and over several generations of pea plants developed his theory of dominant and recessive traits. Here's a poem for today by Ingrid Wendt, entitled Porcupine at Dusk. Out of the bunch grass, out of the cheat grass, a bunch of grass waddles my way. Quill tips bleached by winter 4 inches down, crown of glory dark at the roots, a halo catching the sun's final song. No way could such steady oblivion possibly live up to legend. Whatever fear I might have had is gone, but still I stop short on my after-dinner walk. No collision course, if I can help it, thinking at first it's the wind nudging a path out of the field, or one of a covey of tumbleweed lost.